And we begin in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the little ones who go out now to worship you. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, that you have given us these little lives that we might pour into them. Lord, help us to pour into them that they might know and love you. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would pour into us as we hear from your word. As we open the book of Galatians and hear from the Apostle Paul, we pray you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive the gift of your word. And may then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a news story that I want to begin with this morning. It reads like this. 100 years of Christian fellowship, spiritual love, godly unity, and community growth ended last Tuesday in a fit of congregational discord not to be rivaled in this century. Holy Creek Baptist Church was split down the middle like the tabernacle cloth that tore at the point of our Lord's crucifixion. It is said that one could hear that rip 100 miles away. Holy Creek Baptist was severed from the once stalwart cord of unity that bound them together. The fist of discord has pounded an army of Christian soldiers into 2 disheveled, unorganized factions of estranged members. The source of dissension in this once holy house of God is a piano bench, which still sits behind the 1923 Steinberg to the left of the pulpit. At present, Holy Creek congregation will be having 2 services every week. Each faction will have its own separate service with its own separate pastor, since the head pastor is not speaking to the associate pastor. Each will have their own service, which will be attended by factioned members. We are told that the services are far enough apart that neither group will come into contact with the other. An outside party will be moving the piano bench to different locations and appropriate positions between services so as to please both sides and avoid any further conflict that could result in violence. I wish I were kidding. I wish that this was the joke that it's really turned out to be. But this is a true news article about a true church that exists today. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear of this kind of discord, these kinds of factions, this disunity, and I think, are you kidding me? And what is this all over? Is it over the sake of the gospel? No. Is it over the sake of standing on the word of God or biblical authority? We might argue, in fact, our congregation has argued by its vote and voice that these would be the kinds of things that would split a church. But an organ bench? Wow. That's what we're talking about this morning. The unifying of the church of Christ. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be talking about 2 paths. Now, this is a letter from a pastor to a church. This is the Apostle Paul who writes to the church at Galatia, and he's reminding them that they have a choice to go along one of 2 paths. The first path is the path of the flesh. The second path is the path of the Spirit. And I want to suggest to you that we too, as a congregation, can choose either of these 2 paths. The first path in the flesh would be disunity. That's where we would decide as a congregation to err on the side of gossip and dissension and factions. over minor issues. We can make that choice. In fact, if we don't make the choice for unity, this is the choice we do make, because you have to make one or the other. And by unity, I mean this. Paul begins this passage in verse 13. We heard Dolores read this for us before the mic blew up on her. You handled that great, by the way. Thank you. But in verse 13, Paul says to the church, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, this is the encouragement, the exhortation of the church. It's our encouragement and exhortation today at Richland Lutheran Church. Paul says, serve one another humbly in love. And I want to suggest to you that that is exactly what unity in the church is. Serving one another humbly in love. Now let's differentiate this from agreement. Unity does not mean that we are always in agreement. In fact, I would argue that a healthy church sometimes, maybe even often, disagrees at points, because we need varying and different opinions. We are better when we work together toward agreement. But unity is not necessarily agreeing on everything, but it is saying we will humbly love and serve one another. And so this first path, this disunity in the flesh, starting at verse 19, Paul says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And then I've written on the blue slip, if you're following along, or you can listen, I've written those words, those attitudes, the way we might live, that have to do with relationship with one another. And so Paul says, disunity or living in the flesh looks like this. There's hatred, there's discord, there's jealousy, there's fits of rage, there's selfish ambition, there are dissensions, there are factions, and there is envy in a church that is living by the flesh. And those are obvious to those around us. Think about these words. They might define well the Holy Creek Baptist Church, because indeed there is hatred and discord and jealousy and fits of rage and selfish ambition and dissensions and factions and envy over a piano bench. But that is how we would describe this church. And they are not in Christian unity. They're not of the same mind. They don't have the same mind that is in Christ Jesus of humility and servitude and love. But Paul says there is yet a better way. We don't have to live in the flesh. Just because we are free, Paul says in verse 13, does not mean that we are free to live in sin or by our fleshly desires. But, Paul says, choose a different way and live by the Spirit. Live unified in the Spirit of God. Relationally, what words does Paul use here to describe the fruit of the Spirit? Well, the fruit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And if Holy Creek Baptist Church was living by the Spirit, they would look much different than they do as they argue over this piano bench. Wouldn't they? They would. In fact, they might not even have divided. There might not be dissension. Their pastors might actually get along. Who knows? We in our church are provided two ways. We can choose to live in disunity in the flesh, or we can choose to live in the unity of the Holy Spirit and by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to argue this morning. I'm going to profess this morning. I'm going to encourage and exhort this morning that we choose unity in the Spirit and not disunity in the flesh. Are you surprised? Why? Because unity is important. Unity is important first because I believe unity in the church is non-negotiable. We don't get to choose different than unity. You heard a command this morning from Jesus in our gospel text in chapter 13 of the book of John. Jesus is with the disciples. He's leaving them, and he commands them in this way. A new commandment, verse 34, I give you, says Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Now think about these words for a minute. This is a new command brought by the new covenant that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a command because Jesus encourages it? No. It's a command because Jesus suggests it? No. It's a command because Jesus commands it. He says, so you must love one another. It's not optional. This is a command of Jesus when he says to his disciples, you must love one another. You have to. It is imperative and incumbent upon you to love one another. It is non-negotiable. You, if you are the church of Jesus Christ, cannot say we won't love each other. It's non-negotiable because it's commanded. It's also non-negotiable because the alternative is not acceptable. The great and wise Solomon wrote, Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. What Solomon is getting at here simply is that we are human beings in the church, and there are times that we fail one another. But love covers those wrongs. Hatred just stirs up the pot of conflict, gossip, dissensions, and factions. I am convinced that the greatest tool against the church of Jesus Christ that Satan uses against his church, against Christ's church, is gossip, period. Nothing else will destroy a church quicker and faster and more definitively than gossip. There will be dissensions and factions, and you know how it goes. And then one week you're worshiping together, and the next you're worshiping at two separate services just because an organ bench wasn't in the place that you wanted it. You see, Paul says in Galatians, that if we don't choose the way of the Spirit, that the church will be destroyed. Did you hear those words? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Let me read that again. Did you hear it? If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The church will be destroyed if we don't decide to be a unifying church. And if you don't decide to be a unifying member. Not a member that's always in agreement. Let's keep those separate. It's appropriate. It's healthy. But a member that's unified in the one Spirit of Jesus Christ. A member that's willing to sacrifice, to serve in humility and love the other members of this their congregation. Not only does Paul say the church will be destroyed if we choose disunity in the flesh, but you personally might be destroyed. Look at verse 21, the second half. I warn you, another warning. First Paul says, watch out or you will be destroyed by one another or each other. And now he says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this, what he means by this, live according to the flesh, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we decide, if you decide that living in the flesh in disunity is your choice, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not sure exactly what that means, to be honest with you. But I do know that the kingdom of God is a place where God's rule and reign is supreme and rules and judges, and that's the place where we live. And so if we decide not to be a unifying member, this will be the outcome. So I'm arguing this morning for unity, first off, because it's non-negotiable if we are going to survive as the Church of Jesus Christ here in Richland. Number two, because unity is noticeable. You can easily see it. You've walked into those congregations. Those congregations who are worshiping all of one mind and one spirit. The congregation that's focused on the unifying mission to make Jesus' name known, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach the things that Jesus taught. You've seen these churches. You may even be a part of one here at Richland Lutheran. You may have been a part of one in your past and history, but it's noticeable. In fact, Jesus says about this command to love, and again, I'm arguing that unity is loving. I'm arguing that unity is serving one another humbly in love. And Jesus says in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John in verse 35, he says, by your love for one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's noticeable. When we're loving each other, when we're unified around the message and mission of Jesus our Christ, the Christ, it's obvious to see. And conversely, I believe that there is no more noticeable negative witness to Jesus Christ than the church in disunity. Imagine those who were unchurched that were reading about Holy Creek Baptist. What would they think? What would they say? They're just like the world. They may even be worse. They're arguing over an organ bench. They may say, or a piano bench. I don't even care about a piano bench. There's no more noticeable negative witness of Christ than a church in disunity. And so we are unified because it's noticeable. And then number three, unity is important, and I'm arguing for it in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we live as members who are caused to be unified by the Spirit of God. First, because it's non-negotiable, because it's noticeable, and number three, because it's notable. This is different than noticeable. Noticeable means you can see it. Notable means that you want to see it. That when you see it, that you pay attention, that you make note of it. Last week, the gospel reading was from Matthew, the fifth chapter, the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning, the part just following the Beatitudes. And in that text, we heard about the church being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And the encouragement of Jesus at the end of that passage, in verse 16, Jesus says these words, if you remember them from last week. In the same way, he says, in the same way a city lights the community around it, in the same way that a town built up on a hill gives light to all the people in that same town, Jesus says, let your light. And this is addressed to the church, by the way, not just individuals. But in the same way, Jesus says, let your light, church, shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When a church is unified around the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we become for the world around us a notable organism, a notable place, a notable people. Simply said, a church united gives glory to God. Today is really, from the book of Galatians, a sermon about two paths. The one path, as we consider where we are moving in the future, as a church, is to live in disunity in the flesh that's defined by hatred and dissensions and factions and selfish ambition and envy. The other path, conversely, is to live as a church unified in the power and in the unity of the Holy Spirit in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because we are free in Christ Jesus, you get to make the choice which church we will become. In our book, I Am a Church Member, at the end of each chapter, our author gives us an encouragement to make a pledge. And so I'm standing before you and making the second pledge today, and I hope you will make it with me. I will seek to be a source of unity in my church. I know there are no perfect pastors. Amen? Come on now. That's freeing for us as pastors. We make mistakes all the time, and we are not perfect. There are no perfect pastors. There's no perfect staff. There are no perfect church members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. One of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. Will you make this pledge with me? The choice is yours. Amen. Please stand now as we sing.